You're listening to Amud V'Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg. Mesefes Brachos Amud Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We have what was another perfect Amud. Ends at the bottom, starts at the top. So here we go. Rozera got sick. He got sick. Only Gabe Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu went to visit him. No social distancing. He went straight up to visit him. Doesn't say if he had a mask or anything like that. Kabel Alei. And he took a Kabbalah upon himself in the schus of the great Rav Zera. Imitpach katina charich shake. If the katina charich shake, which means the small person with burnt, with singed thighs, a shok is a thigh, right? If the small person with singed thighs, this is referring to Rav Zera, gets better. Avidna yoma tavel rabbanan. I'm going to make a big party for the rabbis. And that's a strange thing to call them. Rashi. Just says, "Chacha you call him Rav Zera." That was Rav Zera's nickname, right? Some people, you know, some people get shorty. So he was not just shorty; he was shorty with the singed thighs. V'tam mafarsh bava metzia ba'sochas polim. Rashi refers us to the daf bava metzia, which talks about how he would have a practice where he would every 30 days he would like put himself in an oven to see if he would be subject to the fires of Gehenna eventually. He was a very high-level person, Rav Zera. He's the one who he fasted all the time, did many fasts to forget all his Torah in Bavel when he would go to Eretz Yisrael so he could read. Like, he's not someone from our world. Anyway, one time he ended up... Only one time out of the many times that he went into the oven, he was fine. One time he ended up getting burnt because of Ayin Hara. Anyway, so he got the nickname... He was short, so Zeira is short. Zera is just a like a Moishala of Moshe. So it's the short one with cinched thighs. Anyway, if he gets better, I'm going to make a big party for the Rabbanan. I'm going to make a Yom Tov for the Rabbanan. Kimata Lemishrei. Itpach, it happened. He got better. Avad sudas lekuler banis. She made the big party. Kimata lemishrei. When it came time for Rashi, he says mishrei is starting out the suda to be put the bread. Meaning it's time to make the hamotzi. Amar leil Reb Zera. So Rabbi said, no, guest of honor, Reb Zera. Lishrei lanmar. Let the master start off benching. Say hamotzi for everyone. Amar Leh, he said to him, Losar Lamar Vlahad Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Bal, do you not hold the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan? Damar, that he said, Balabayas Botseya, that the Balabayas is Botseya. That the Balabayas is the one who breaks the bread, meaning he's the Balabayas is the one who should say a motzi. It's not something that he gives away to somebody else. Botseya, Sharlu. So I guess he. Yeah, so the Balabayas is the one who is the one who's going to be the one to break the bread for everybody, and so Shara Lahu, so he ended up Rabbi Bahu ended up doing it for everybody because he was a Balabayas. He was throwing the party in his house. Kimata livruche, when it came time to bench, Amar le nivrich lan mar, let the master lead benching. He lets him, you want to lead Zimun. Amar le, Rav Zera said to him, lo sabar lamar lahad rav huna dimin bavel. But don't you hold about what the, doesn't the master hold what Rav Huna of Bavel said? Rashi just points out this is Rav Huna, just because they're in Eretz Yisrael, so they called him in Eretz Yisrael, they called him Rav Huna of Bavel. But this is the Rav Huna Stama that we see throughout the Gemara. There are multiple Rav Hunas, but the Rav Huna without an appellation of any sort is the Rav Huna that's being referred to here. So what did he say? Botseim of Rav Huna of Bavel. So what did he say? Da'amar Botseim Avarech, the one who says a motzi should bench. So you who said a motzi, you bench. Ve'ihu Sarabahu Kiman Sviralhu. Whom did he hold like? He held like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who says Esti Rocks, Balabayas Botseya, that the Balabayas is Botseya, but Oreach Mevarech, and the guest is the one who leads benching, right? So this is clearly what he held. So when he, okay, so. So right. So again. So what did he hold? It was machlokas. He Rav Bahu asked Rav Zera to do it, he asked Rav Zeira to lead benching because he held that the oreach, the guest, should bench, while Rav Zeira asked not to because he held, like the other opinion, that says that the one who said amosi should do it. Now, it's a question that we didn't ask that before about Rav Bahu. Like, what did they disagree on before that Rav Bahu wanted Rav Zeira to do it? So, as I quoted from the Rashba, is that originally Rav Bahu was kind of saying, Rav Zeira, you're the Baal HaBayis. This is your party, and you could lead if you want to, or you could break kamotzi if you want to. This is your party. So it was that machlokes. I mean, it wasn't halachic machlokes. It's like, whom are we defining as the, whom are we calling the Baal HaBayis? But over here, but this was a machlokes. And we're just going to explain the reasoning for that. So he says that the Baal HaBayis is botseya, the oreach is mevarech. Baal HaBayis botseya, kadesha yivtsa be'ayin yofeh. The reason that the Baal HaBayis is botseya, he breaks the bread, so that he should do it with ayin yofeh, right? If he this is his bread. Ayin yofeh means with generosity. Generosity, right? And ayin tov and ayin yofeh is generosity, and ayin ra, especially like Perkei Avos, it's a reference to stinginess. So, meaning like, if I'm the guest, I have to break off a piece of bread. So first of all, I'll feel awkward doing a small piece for myself. I don't know how much is left in the kitchen. I'm not going to give myself a big piece, but so no, to treat the guests with kavod, the Baal HaBayis does it. He knows how much he can apportion to everybody. He gives a nice geshmaka piece to everyone, so no one has to feel awkward taking a bigger piece. It works better like that. However, v'oreach mevorech, but the guest is going to leave bench in kadesha yivrach Baal HaBayis, so that he should be able to bless the Baal HaBayis, right? And then it's going to get to birchas oreach. So the reason for this. This is going to be a beautiful tefillah. We'll read it now, actually. It's in all good benchers, and it's in your sitter, it's in the Shulchan Aruch. But this following bracha, my mevarech, what does he say? Yiritzon shelo yivosh Baal HaBayis b'olam hazeh v'lo yikolein l'olam haba. That may be the will that the Baal HaBayis should not be embarrassed in l'olam hazeh l'olam haba. The Rebbe would say, Mosif ba dvarim, he would say more. He should be successful in all his property, and his property, his like real estate should be close to his city, right? Rashi just explains, right? But you don't want properties that you have to be too far away because you have to look after them. It's hard to get to them all the time, so it's much better if the real estate that you own is a lot closer. So it should be krovim la'ir and successful. And the satan should not mess with us, him and us. It's interesting that we throw ourselves into the bracha now. It could be in the schus of blessing somebody else, you get blessed among them. Values da care. We have actually in our here's the values of cake. A lol of anavlo and thin shun of our hero hate vevera vevon metavi alum. It shouldn't happen. We shouldn't come across before us, before him, or before us, any bad thoughts of sin, thoughts or transgressions, iniquities from now until forever. So it's a beautiful bracha, and some people add more in a svardim of like a much longer, more geshmak. Bracha Deyav. So if you ever have like a Sephardi at the table, if there's no Kohan, I mean, whatever, if everyone's equal, if you pick a Sephardi at the table because they have better Berachas Oreach. So this is the Berachas Oreach. And the reason for this, at least at the time, was that usually the one leading benching would be the one benching for everybody out loud. So if the Baal HaBayis would be the one to bench, then he wouldn't say the Berachas Oreach and no one would say it. Nowadays, really everybody should say it. It shouldn't just be the one, at the one who's leading benching, because he's not benching for everyone, so everyone really could say it. But back then, only the birchas when the guests would not be benching. So if the Baal HaBayis would lead the benching, then no one would be blessing the Baal HaBayis, at least not within the context of benching. Ad heichan birchas amazon. Okay, so now the Gemara asks a complicated question. It's not necessarily complicated. Until when is birchas hazimun? Sorry, that. Ad heichan birchas hazimun. Until when is birchas hazimun? So there are going to be two main ways to understand this. We're going to go with Rashi. If you see the Tosfos, the two Tosfos right over, Ad heichan and Laman, so they'll have a completely different way of understanding this machlokas in the following Gemara. A lot of Rishonim follow this. It's the approach of the Rif. We'll maybe discuss that briefly. Well, let's understand Rashi first. So ad heichan birchas hazimun. So what's the question? Until when is birchas hazimun that shetzrichen, says Rashi, shetzrichen yosh shlosha, ukshen shnayim lo yamruha, that you need for there to be three people, and two of them you don't say it. Meaning, we know that you don't say birchas zimun, you don't say the zimun, if you have two people. You only say if you have three. So, how much of that, what's considered birchas zimun? Bless you. What's considered birchas zimun? So, Rav Nachman Amar ad nevarech. Rav Nachman says it's until nevarech. I mean, you know, that initial, right, there's the Rabbi Sinai nevarech, and then he shame, and then nevarech baruch shachan mishalo tochayinu. So that's birchas hazimun. Everything after that, baruch atashem akin hazan asolam kulo. That's not part of it. That's not part of birchas hazimun. That's the first bracha. V'rav sheisha samer. Listen to this. Ad hazan. Baruch atashem hazan asakol. That's where zimun ends. Meaning, if you only have two people, or somebody's benching by himself, you don't say that first bracha. You start with noda. Or it could be you would say baruch atah Hashem akein melech olam, noda lecha Hashem akein. But you don't say the first bracha, zanas lakol. That's how Rashi
understands. Isn't that the main thing though?
I'm sorry?
Isn't it like the main thing?
Like not according to Rav Sheshes, according to Rashi. Yeah, I know. I was the same way when I read this. Okay, so... So Nema Kitanoi. Let us say that this is actually Machlokas Tanoim. It's not Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes. This is two Tanoiak opinions. Ditani Chadag, because we have one brisa that says Birchas Hamazon Shnayim Ushlosha. Birchas Hamazon is two or three brachos. Vitani Idach Shlosha Varba. And another brisa says no. Birchas Hamazon is three or four. Savrua de kule alma, everybody holds a tova mitiv lav deraisahi. We're not talking about tova mitiv. That's the fourth bracha is not deraisa. We're not talking about that. We're saying the ikar benching is either one opinion says two or three brachos, and this is three or four. So my lav isn't bahakimivli. Isn't this what they argue about? Manda amar shtayim ushalosh kisavar ad hazan. The one who says benching is two or three brachos. What do you mean two or three? So it means if you have a zimun, it's three, otherwise it's two. So the shosh kisavar ad hazan. Right, that's what he, uman dama, right, so meaning that this opinion says two or three, what are the two brachos? Well, if you have a zimun, so zimun and hazan are all one big bracha. If you have a zimun, so you say three. The zimun with that ends hazan as a kol, and then noda, and then rachim. But if and if you don't have a zimun, according to this opinion, it's two brachos. You only say noda and rachim. Say noda lecha al arutz amazon and bone yerushalayim. Umanda amar and now that's one brisa. Umanda amar shlosh va'arba and the one who's the other brisa who says no benching is either three or four. Kesavar he holds an nevarech lo. Sorry, ad nevarech. He holds ad nevarech. And that's why, so it's three or four. Why is it three or four? Because ikur benching is three, not including birchas hazimun. And birchas hazimun is the fourth brach if you have the benching. So it seems like these two brisos are really the opinions of, these opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are really opinions of the brisa. Lo, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman mitarza tameh, Rav Sheshes mitarza tameh. No. Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes are both going to be able to explain both brachos as going in accordance with their respective opinions. Rav Nachman mitarza tameh. Rav Nachman says, according to his reason, dekule alma ad nivrach. He says, ad nivarech. He says, both brachos really hold that benching, that zimun ends at nivarech. It doesn't extend to hazan sakol. Hazan sakol is a separate bracha. So the one who says three or four, that makes sense. That's perfect, right? Three or four, because the benching is three brachos, and sometimes you have a fourth, the zimun, if you have three. Now the more problematic one. Uman damar shtayim shalosh. Rav Nachman says that the one who says two or three, amar lecha, he's going to tell you, hacha birchas poalim askinan. This is talking about the birchas poalim, that workers. Workers, we learned about these umnin, I believe it was Tess Zion. Zichru. I believe it was Tazayin where we learned about these Umanin, these people working in like the discussion about people working in the trees, getting down for davening, saying Kriya Shema, that, this and that. So we learned over there that in benching, Damar Mar, the master said, Poseach Bahazan, the Kol El Bonei Yerushalayim Berachas Haaretz. Maybe you remember this, right? That we start off with Hazan, that we tell them, in order to save your Baal HaBayis, you're working for somebody, in order to save him time, not cheat him, say Hazan, the first bracha, and include Bonei Yerushalayim Berachas Haaretz, meaning Rachim in Nodelcha, that those brachas are conjoined together. And therefore, with Berachas Poem, you'll say two brachos. And if there's a Zimun, you'll say three. So that's why it's two or three. One Bryce is referring to regular people, and the other Bryce that says two or three is talking about Poalim. Okay, that's a good explanation. Rav Sheshes Matar to Tameh Dukuli Amar Azan. Rav Sheshes will explain both Bryces in accordance with his opinion, that everybody holds, both of these Bryces really hold, that Zimun extends to Azan HaSakol. Mandamar Shtayim Shlo Shapir. That one is good, according to him. Umandamar Shlo Shvar Bak Savar. The one who says three or four holds Hatova Metiv Deraisa He. That Hatova Metiv is Deraisa. So when that opinion says three or four, yes, because that opinion is saying that that benching is really three brachos. It's Zimun through Hazan HaSakol. It's three or four. It's Nodelcha Rachem and Hatova Metiv. My finger was out of the hand was out of the zoom. It's over Metiv. And if you have a Zimun, then it's Zimun with Hazan HaSakol, Anodelcha, Rachim, and Atova Metiv. So that's how he explains it. He's assuming that it is Deraisa. And then the rest of the Amud and a little bit onto the next, we're going to discuss whether that is plausible. I mean, it seems that it would be, but whether we hold like that. So just to take a moment to take another approach to this Gemara, this is very perplexing. Tosfos in Adhechan and Ulaman is going to really address this, and he quotes Rashi. I didn't get to read it thoroughly yet. I just skimmed it, these two Tosfos, but he says that like it cannot be, and especially because it looks like he says that that we hold like Rav Sheshes. Right, he says like it can't be Rav Sheshes. Hold this, Rav Sheshes, right? So he says he understands it completely differently, really based on the Rif. In the second Tosfos over here, he quotes Rav Alfas, the Rif, and this is the way the Rif understands it. And many Rishonim follow Tosfos' lead because of all the questions presumably that Tosfos asks on Rashi, and they do as well. And that was the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. What does it mean? Until where is Zimun? It means until where. Let's say one person is in the middle of his meal and he's joining the other two. We learned on the previous Amud that people can make a Zimun, and someone who's not done eating yet can answer and then continue his meal. So until when does he have to follow the Zimun? When can he start re-eating? Machlokes. It could be until the end of the Zimun portion, and then even when the Baruch Atah Hashem, especially if they're singing it, he can go back to his eating. But the other opinion, Rav Sheshes says, no, you have to listen until Hazan HaSakol. And that's right. I'm sure we've seen people doing both practices at Hazan HaSakol, and then you're allowed to eat. That's really their machlokas. And then the follow up of this discussion with the brisos is not. So is it two or three or three or four? It's not talking about brachos, but rather how many people can divide the brachos, like how many people can say the brachos, or something like that, right? The v'hachi kamar brachos zimun b'shnayim v'shlosha b'nei adam, right? If you have three or four different people, each one saying a different bracha, are you allowed to split up the brachos? It's a question in whether you're allowed to split up the zimun and the bracha, the first bracha. Is someone allowed to say Rabbi Sain Avarech, and then someone else say Hazan HaSakol, and that's the machloka. So it's a totally different way to understand the Gemara. I just thought I'd mention it there if you have time to take a look at these two approaches in Tosfos, but we'll first now stick to Rashi, especially because the Amud V'Chazara Oraisa quizzes tests are primarily based on Rashi. There's like a Tosfos section, but we'll stick with Rashi as our main explanation. Okay, so let's try to take a look at that, that thing that we just said, that Tova Meitiv is Deraisa. So, Om Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Namora, Teida da Tova Meitiv lav Deraisa. You should know that Tova Meitiv is not Deraisa. Shahari Polim Okrim Osa. Because, as we said in Tes Zion, Polim, and earlier, Polim uproot this one. Meaning, Chazal gave them the ability to do that. But it's not plausible to say that because, you know, they're working for a Baal Bayis, so we could just throw out one bracha. To conjoin two brachos, at least you're saying no delachan b'nei Yerushalayim, okay. But to say, don't say HaTova Meitiv, how could you, if it's a deraisa, how could you just throw that bracha out? It's not possible. Obam Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishmei derav. And Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta says in the name of Rav, Teda HaTova Meitiv lav deraisa. Another proof, another Amoraic proof that it's not deraisa. Shahare paseach ba bebaruch ve'in chosin ba bebaruch. Because we start off with a baruch in this fourth bracha, and we don't end with a baruch, right? There's no, right? So it starts off with a baruch and it doesn't end with a baruch. And that is an anomaly. Kedetanias, we learn a braisa. Kol brachos kulon paseach. Bahen bebaruch, v'chosin bahen bebaruch. Every bracha begins with baruch and ends with baruch. Chutz, except for mibirchas aperos, mibirchas amitzos, mibirchas asmucha lechaverta. Except for birchas aperos and birchas amitzos, right, which are basically like one line that begin with the baruch and don't have a new baruch at the end. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam barei pri ha'etz. Not Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to fit it in there. There's no way. So that it, like, by default, it has to be an exception. It's not just talking about peiros. It seems to be talking about any foods. And Birchas HaMitzvos also. And a Bracha HaSmucha Lechaverta, a Bracha that's close to its friend. That's a reference to a series of Brachos. So if a Bracha is in a series, so it doesn't start with a baruch. For example, Shemona Esrei. Right, Shemona Esrei, the first bracha is baruch, and then atagibor, atakadosh, and everything, right? And then every other bracha does not begin. No other bracha begins with baruch. Barech aleinu is not even a baruch. It's not baruch atah Hashem. We have it in Birchas Kriyashma. We have in mention baruch atah Hashem, and then no delacha rachim. No, we don't have baruchs anymore. So these are brachos smuchos lechavertas, right? This is brachos that are close to their friends, part of a series. Okay, ubracha charona shebekriyashma, and that's another exception. The last bracha of kriyashma also does not begin with a baruch. Right, it's even though it's after Krishma, the reason for that is seemingly because it's really considered bracha smucha lechaverta. It's connected to the previous two. Shema is not fully an interruption, so it doesn't begin with the baruch; it ends with the baruch. Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. Now the bracha continues. Yesh mehen. So of these last categories, yesh mehen sheposeach behen bebaruch. Ve'in chosim baruch. So of these other categories, right? We say most brachos begin and end with baruch, except for these three categories, or maybe four categories, right? Birchas aperos, birchas mitzvos, a bracha in a series, and the bracha after kriyashma. Now, of these categories that don't begin and end with baruch, yesh mehen sheposeach behen baruch. There are some that do begin with baruch. Ve'in chosim baruch, but they don't end with baruch. And there are those of them who end with baruch and don't begin with baruch. And tova meitiv opens up with baruch and it does not close with baruch. Michlal de bracha b'fnei atmahi. That implies that it's a bracha on its own. And Rashi says, meaning it's if it's a bracha smucha lechaverta, which it should be, right? It follows a series of benching, but we start with a new baruch at that point, indicating it's not from birchas hamazon. Ella al kvuras haruge beitar taknua. Rather, they establish this on the burial of those who were killed in Beitar, meaning that clearly the way it was designed was not to be fully part of the series. Obviously, it was the takana was, which was just a clarification again in Beitar. for those who are not aware of the story. So this is back with the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the Beitar massacre was with Bar Kokhba, and after the deaths of everybody in Beitar, the killing of Bar Kokhba and his massive army, they were not allowed to bury the bodies. Eventually, they were allowed to bury the bodies, so they got permission. The Jewish people got permission to bury the many bodies that were killed in the Beitar massacre. Now they're appreciative of the great miracle that Hashem allowed them to bury the bodies, but they found that the bodies miraculously did not decompose. And through that goodness, the Tov Amitiv, that they were allowed to bury, and they were allowed to bury, and they were given, and there was a miracle involved as well. So they established this bracha Tov Amitiv, and the way they established it, they put it into benching, and putting it into benching, they clearly demonstrated that it's not part of the series exactly, that it's not deraisa, it was added later on through it starting with the Baruch. It's an interesting discussion of like why they put this in benching. It really probably is a follow up of Rachem of begging for rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash after the horrible tragedy of Bar Kokhba and the revolt and the hopes of rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash and that being like crushed. So seeing a little bit of the light, which was on Tuba of Hatova Amitiv is a response to the tragedies of Tisha B'Av and a little bit of hope infused after we say Rachino Bunei Yerushalayim, Bnei Yerushalayim Rakosh Meherimenu Amen, and then to go into this bracha of talking about even in the darkest of times there is some light and divine intervention and miracles. It's a sense of hope. There's a lot more to say about that, but we'll hold off here for now. Yashar Koach.